I saw that Forever 21 may be closing all of their stores. They had like something like 850 stores at one time in their peak. It seems like kind of a familiar story. And when I read that and wanted to talk broader about fashion and clothing and how this is all working nowadays, I went, Aridian, who was that really great guest that we had a couple months back? Let's get her back. And she decided to come back. Her name is Farron Krenzel. She's the Business of Fashion columnist and founder of Fashionista.com. Farron, thanks for coming back on with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Let's talk about fashion.
Love it. The world of business and fashion, they collide. It's a $1 trillion industry across the globe. This is a broad question, but you take it whichever way you want. What is the state of fashion and clothing sales right now here in the U.S. with another big name maybe closing shop?
Well, there's a lot of anxiety. We have anxiety from retailers. We have anxiety from shoppers. We do not know which way the economy is going to go right now. We don't know how much disposable income we're going to have. And that really affects the choices that we're making at the cash register level, where we're saying, do I really need this shirt? Do I really need this pair of jeans? That's causing crazy market instability. The other thing that's happening, which affects Forever 21 more than you'd think, is that in the past couple seasons, we've had such major luxury designer takeover that these copies, these dupes that once were the bread and butter of places like Forever 21, where you'd see a Stella McCartney parka, then you'd see all the celebrities, Rihanna in the Stella McCartney parka, then you could go to Forever 21 and get almost the same thing. There's so much designer upheaval right now that we just don't have those iconic pieces. So they're losing it at both ends. They're losing the consumer that wants, you know, the $6 t-shirt, because there are places where you can get that t-shirt even cheaper. And at the other end, you're losing that, oh my God, what looks like Chanel, because we don't know what Chanel looks like right now. They don't have a new designer until September. So you're kind of getting the candle being burned at both ends, and it's really singeing a lot of fast fashion retailers, but especially Forever 21. They spent so much money on retail stores, which isn't where, you know, a Gen Z shopper is going to shop. And if they're going to go there, they want something special. They want like a Glossier store where it feels like an experience, not like a warehouse. Forever 21 didn't do the best job, you know, catering to that type of shopper. It didn't feel great. So why wouldn't you just stay home in your pajamas and go online and get an Amazon Basics or go to Temu?
Yeah. I want to dive into that one point you made to make sure I understand that about the idea of at Forever 21, maybe I'm not a Forever 21 customer, but if I were to be one. Right. Yeah. Right. But let's say, you know, I'm someone who looks at what the celebrities are wearing, what they're posting on Instagram. They are obviously buying something from a designer. And what Forever 21 and some of these other stores do say, well, what we can do is manufacture that for cheaper with a similar look for more customers. And you're saying that that we're not seeing that on the front end, that the designers right now, they're so in flux in terms of new designs coming out that that we aren't seeing the back end of it happening, where someone goes, well, I also want to wear what that person was wearing.
You're seeing part of that. You're also, frankly, just seeing a lot of people like Zara who are doing it better. The other thing is you're seeing such a rise in retail. I'm sorry, not retail, resale. They sound alike, but they're completely different. You're seeing, you know, things like eBay, Poshmark, Depop, where these designer things that used to be $700, $800, $900. You know, now if you're really smart about it, if you set your alerts, if you treat it like a video game, you know, or like Robin Hood, but instead of day trading stocks, you're day trading Miu Miu, you can get this stuff for under $100. And so, you know, the knockoff market, while it's always going to be fueled by celebrity, by runway, it has these real challenges now with a rising resale market. Even places like The RealReal, they're not profitable yet, but they're getting there. And I really think, especially as we see fast fashion companies crumble, as we see potential tariffs, you know, coming and challenging us, you're going to see this big, big rise in the resale market, because these clothes have already been made. You're not paying, you know, the shipping fee, the manufacturing fee from overseas. They're in someone's closet in California.
Yeah. I'm sick of guessing when the next recession will be. I feel like we've been all saying that for like 3 or 4 years, that it's coming. It's coming.
Man.
Yeah, right. And it's obviously the landscape has changed. And you mentioned the tariffs too are more of a direct policy shift in the last couple months, of course. But has it always been kind of known that maybe the retail space is where we do see some of those flashing yellow signs, meaning if people are starting to pivot from spending $500 and starting to look for more deals, can that be a sign that maybe other industries are kind of next?
You know, there's always that debate, whether it's the hemline index, the lipstick index. Can we tell whether we're going into broader economic panic based on fashion? Yes and no. I think the egg panic is symbolizing a lot more, to be honest with you. And the reason is because right now we've never had more places where we can buy and acquire fashion, right? We have the very fast fashions of the world, the Temus, the Sheins. We have the resale platforms, the eBays, the Depops, the RealReals, the Vestiaires, which you can find a designer thing for $10, you can find a designer thing for $10,000. We have this rise of independent retail that's getting really exciting, where smaller stores are starting to pop up and give those curated experiences that people are really looking for, that one-on-one shopping. We have kind of this reboot of the mid-brands, the J. Crews, the Aritzias, Zac Posen, who is a huge celebrity designer who's now at Gap. There are just so many places where people can buy clothes that it's really tricky to look at one channel and say, oh, the recession's coming. I do think there's something to be said for, I don't know if you've heard of recession brunettes.
No.
Which is when people who used to spend a lot of money, including me, on very, very blonde hair start thinking like, oh, maybe I should tone it down because the maintenance of that hair is quite costly. And so within the beauty sector, we do see little things like that. Do I want to spend $500, $600 on my hair? Are we seeing more people buying LED UV lamps for their nails so they can give themselves manicures at home? And I think those are going to be, if anything, the tea leaves we should look at first, only because there are just too many points of purchase for fashion right now. Even if one brand is going down, another similar brand could go right back up.
Yeah. I'm going to be counting brunettes at the grocery store then tomorrow, Farron. We covered a lot of ground in 7.5 minutes. That was awesome. Let's have you back again, please. I love this intersectionality between the financial world, the business world, the consumer world, and fashion. Thanks for joining us. Yes. Fashionista.com, great website. People should go there.
They should go there. Also read The Business of Fashion, please. And thank you for having me.
As always, Farron Krenzel, doing great work there.